This is Wade Rathkin. You're listening to Wade's World, a Voice of the People program. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, Greenville, or New Orleans, or on Acorn Radio in Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay. Points north and south, east and west, where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at kabf.org and acornradio.org. A podcast will be available of this show on these websites and at affiliatedmediamovement.org. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world. And today we're in Tirana, Albania, and we're talking to one of my associates or fellows called Marcela Almoka. Marcela, welcome to Wade's World.
Thank you. I am very glad to be in your show. Thank you.
Well, and I'm actually in your world because I'm in Albania. Tell people, what is Albania like? Some people may not even know where the country is located, uh-huh. So we better tell our listeners, where is Albania?
Yeah, Albania, it's in Western Europe, I can say. It's near the Italy, if you have heard about the Italy.
Everybody's heard about Italy because
yes.
They eat spaghetti. Yes.
So we are so nearby the Italy, so with Greece also. We are on the Mediterranean side, I can say. So I can tell a lot of Albania, but let's talk about how things are going on here.
Exactly. This is not a very large country, is it?
Yeah, it's not a very large country. Actually, the population of Albania is 2.6 million inhabitants. A lot of people are leaving the country during the decades, so it's going to be small and small year by year, I can say.
So you're losing population?
Yeah, we are losing population. The projection for the future population of Albania, they say that in 2030 the population of Albania must be 1 million, so it's
wow.
A big issue, yeah.
Well, but you have a number of things that you're working on here, and I've visited a number of them. But you teach in a university, a public university. Why don't you tell people what you teach?
Yeah. Actually, I have studied social work. So for 5 years and a half, almost 6 years, I am teaching at the university, at the Faculty of Social Science, at the Department of Social Work. I am teaching the subject which are related to working directly with the clients. So I am teaching there the methods of interviewing and counseling clients, mainly those who came from a problematic situation or what else I can say. Also, I am teaching there another important subject there, which is managing of a social project, which is on a new area to develop further in Albania. So yeah.
And you deal with a lot of issues about gender.
Yeah, we have a lot of problems with gender issues. I can mention because I'm directly related, because I work directly with the domestic violence issues. I am running the program at Shelter for Abused Women and Girls, so women and girls in Albania have a lot of problems, I can say, which are related with access to education, limited access to be employed, limited access to be qualified. So these are the causes of the situation, I can say that.
And how do you deal with some questions of abuse in women, domestic abuse?
Yeah, domestic violence, yeah.
And are they referred to you by the police, or people come to you individually, mm-hmm. or nonprofits work with this, or?
During the years, we have tried. When I say we, all the actors, I can say in Albania, we have tried to create a system to identify and to refer cases of domestic violence. So most of the cases go through the police, and then they at the police station they ask for help, and then they refer to the specialized service, I can say. But most of the cases called directly or write to email. It's not good every time, but it's the way where what people find to contact and to seek help, I can say.
And how do they hear about you? Is there a hotline or a website? Or I mean, how do people know if they've got this problem to find you?
We have a hotline, which is a non-profit organization who offer hotline, so people can call there. It's not very well known, but we try to promote our work with different activities at community, with different publication that we made. In TV show, we try to be present in TV show to inform the public.
I know you told me you were very experienced in TV, not radio.
Yeah, that was the reason, yeah.
And is this that common, or is it rare to find situations of domestic abuse? Because I think you mentioned in some of the rural areas, this is also very prevalent outside of the capital of Tirana.
Yeah. It is being more and more present, domestic violence in Albania, so I can say that people are more aware to report domestic violence. And if we look to the statistics, we have an increasing of statistics year by year. For example, last year, in 2017, we had it 4,000 people, women who seek the help
from your program.
From our program, and if we see the statistics about 2018, are the number are increased with one half, I can say.
And do you think that means that the knowledge that the program exists is increasing, or that the incidence of domestic abuse is increasing?
I think it's the awareness of the people. So people are more aware that the domestic violence, the domestic, it will not be happen anymore. So they report it. I can say that the violence has been there, but people now are more aware about services, about law, I can say. But we need to do more work. I am sure that there are a lot of women and girls around the country that don't have information, and they don't know how to find a solution.
Now, do you are there shelters or halfway houses or some kind of services for people that are in very bad situations?
We have limited services, I can say.
Yeah.
All over the country, we have only two shelters for abused women and girls, which one
in the whole country?
In the whole country, yeah, and they are located in Tirana. One is public and one is non-public. When I say non-public, it's supported by foreign donors.
Yeah, right.
So we have limited services. So we try to do the best. It's not very easy. Sometimes we don't have the support of the other service providers, because if you have a case to the shelter that you wanted to reintegrate her, she needs housing, she needs a job to be employed. So you have to cooperate with other services.
And are these the two shelters that do exist? Are they, I mean, what's their capacity? Can they hold a lot of people, or is it just a few?
Not a lot of. For example, the shelter that I am running right now, the program, we have only 10 beds. Imagine. And the other shelter, which is public, they have 40 beds. But I think it's not enough compared
to
the
demand.
Needs. Yeah.
And are there follow-up services once people get out? There must be. Is there a waiting list? It does sound like there'd be a real problem here.
We try to serve as much as we can.
Right.
But I am pretty sure. I'm sure that there are a lot of people that are asking for help, and we don't have the capacity to offer help.
You also, we're talking to Marcela Amoke. We're in Tirana, Albania now, and as she was saying, she teaches social welfare programs at a local public university, but there's also programs you've been involved in with supporting younger women, mm-hmm. girls in various
yeah.
communities.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah, recently the 5 years we have tried to empower the awareness,
sure.
the prevention program in the shelter, because during the years our shelter is functioning for 20 years almost this
year.
Okay. So for years they offer there only the direct services for clients, so one woman can stay there for 2 or 3 months and get the psychosocial support and support her to find a job or to reintegrate in the community. And we decided 5 years ago, I can say that, we have to empower the prevention program, because if we don't prevention, we can be...
Right.
Yeah. So we try to work with different stakeholders at community. When I say different stakeholders, I can say service providers, to how they can deal with domestic violence in their communities, to work with young girls and young boys also, because we know domestic violence doesn't happen only...
Sure.
Yeah. So we have tried to work with young girls, especially, to empower them with life skills, because most of the women and girls in Albania which faces the domestic violence, when you evaluate them, you can see that they don't have life skills, for example, which are related with communication. Sometimes they can express themselves, they can get decision for themselves. So we have tried to work with young girls to empower them with life skills as a way to prevent domestic violence in future.
A couple of nights ago, we I think you largely organized thing for some younger students and activists at local. Used to be a cinema, I guess. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Is it a community center now? Or?
It's like a community center. Culture.
Very nice location. We had about 60 people there. Mm-hmm. It was interesting to hear people embrace the need for community organizing. Mm-hmm. We were talking about community organizing, and Marcella, you obviously spent a month with us in New Orleans, actually working, you know, in a community voice office and in the neighborhood. So how did you feel that went? There seemed to be a lot of interest in community organizing.
Yeah, I can say also that it was a meeting when you can see hope. Because most of the young people in Albania doesn't see hope anymore in way how things going on here.
Right.
It's difficult to organize communities to be together to fight for their problems or demands. So I was really inspired by this this meeting that we saw there a lot of young people that they wanted to see a change in their community. So you mentioned before that community organizing is not very developed in our country.
Right.
I can say we are the first person that we are in contact with community organizing. So compared with the experience that I had it in your organization at New Orleans, so it's very far away. I can say we are very far away, but I think. We can do something.
Well, and I was, you know, I asked at the end, I thought it was a very exciting program, who wanted to be a community organizer, and people raised their hand, and I said,
true.
Come talk to me later, and five or six people came and talked to me, and actually two or three of them were 17 and 18 years old, so they were very young people, so there's hope in the future for some of them.
Yeah.
But today you and I were in another town, a little bit outside of, a half hour out of town, at a smaller location, I guess in the same Tirana area.
There's it's part of the Tirana municipality.
Yeah. But still a distance away.
Mm.
And these were all high school students in their, what we would see as their junior and sophomore year in the United States, 16, 17, 15 maybe. Not a lot of hope in the room.
Yeah. It's true.
A lot of people talking about, now they're young, so who knows what they really are going to do, but this whole problem of out-migration and believing that you have to leave in order to make change or find a job. I was kind of surprised at how hopeless people seem, but was that a common reaction or was that just... people talking to the American.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can say that it's a common reaction from mainly with young people in Albania. Uh-huh. I saw this thing at the university with a student. They didn't see their future in Albania, and it's not good. Also, the statistics showed us that, for example, we have a last study 2 months before they showed that 79% of young people who respond to the survey say that they wanted to leave the country.
79%.
Yeah, of youth. So this is it's a huge number.
That's a crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a crisis. I saw this thing at, as I said before, with the student at the university. So they try to be better and better, but not to stay in Albania, but to go abroad. So it's.
And what are the most popular locations? I know we were talking to one of your friends, and she had relatives in Greece and Italy. Are those the most common?
Yeah, because
those are both close by.
Mm-hmm. For years has been the Greece and Italy. So are, I can say, about 400 million immigrants from Albania lives in Italy and in Greece. So more than we are right now in Albania. So the last 5 years are other hotspots. I can say when Albanians wanted to immigrate, the Germany. Mm-hmm. Also, the Germany has has promoted that they offer different jobs. And
for a while they did.
Yeah,
I mean, several years ago they took a million immigrants.
Mm-hmm, mainly in health sectors, and it's another crisis in Albania. All the best health workers we have in Albania are now learning Germanian to go to and all, it's a large number that leave the country and to immigrate to Germany.
And it, having been to Greece over the last year, a lot of people are immigrating out of Greece. So, because the economy in Italy and Greece is also very weak, yet people from Albania are going to Italy and Greece. So,
this is the reason.
But
This is the reason that I say that we have another hotspot to immigrate. It has been Germany during the last 5 years, France, and also
Sweden.
This must be the three hotspots.
Well, and the weather is so much warmer here. Yeah, besides the USA. Well,
besides the USA, do you know that last year from Albania applied for the lottery 3,000 persons to go to...
3,000 people from Albania tried to get in the lottery.
Yeah, and a lot of... most of them were police officers, health workers. So imagine the professionals that it's supposed that they have a work in Albania.
We're talking to Marcela Malka, who's a professional fellow in a program supported by the State Department and was visiting for a month with us in New Orleans. And now I'm here with her learning more about Albania. Wages for professionals are low, but wages for everybody are low in Albania.
Yeah, it's true.
The minimum wage, someone was telling me, is around 250 US
a
month.
You are right. It's the newest that the state decided to be the minimum wages.
And a lot of people we were hearing the other day are paid off the books who are professionals as well.
Yeah.
How does that work? Well, they were saying the guy who ran that university with Copeland was telling us that only 25-30% of the people pay taxes.
Yeah, it's true.
And we said, well, how does that work? And he was saying a lot of people are paid the minimum wage and then are paid off the books, how do they do that? You said it was not at the university, or
It's not at the university. I can
say that's a state university.
Yeah, it's not at the university. Also, at the administration, public administration, it's not possible to happen this. But it happens with NGO sectors, with non-public services. It happens. Yeah.
And in the service economy, is that common? People at hotels or whatever, would they be working off the books too? Or
I think, yeah. I think, yeah.
Well,
it's in a common. It's
just go up to 10 people, you'd find 7 of them off the books.
Yeah.
So that must be a problem for funding public services.
It's true, yeah. Yeah, and this is the reason why our public services are doesn't offer that quality that that we need.
Yeah. Right. One of the things I've been hearing about more and more is this problem of land title. That's now come up over and over, and we were in Barrett yesterday, several hours away, one of the ninth largest city in Albania, and that issue came up again. And part of this has to do with the transition from communism in the early 1990s to now, where there are sort of two conflicting laws. Is that correct?
Yeah,
where
yes,
people
you are right,
who
yeah.
had lost property as everything became public and the state's property can now apply to retake that property, and other people
who have built the houses,
may have been living there 20 or 30 years now.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
You describe very well, I can say, the situation. Yeah, yeah, it's a big, issue in Albania to have the right to the property.
To have a title, as we would call it, property title.
It's a big issue. I can say. So a lot of people are facing with this this problem, and it's also on the problem when the level of corruption is very very high. So because if you have to,
so the government can't mediate a solution because of corruption. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's one of the reasons, I can say, because if you wanted to have as soon as possible to have the right of the property, you can pay hand by hand, so you can get it. So, or it will take on a long process with a lot of.
Is it a court process or is there?
It's not a court process. We have an.
It's a special office and most.
It's a special office.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it sounded like they were talking about a legalization office in Barat.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they called Aluizni in Albania.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they should be able to figure this out.
Yeah. This is supposed to be. But in reality, it's faced with a lot of problems, I can say.
And today in, how do you say the name of the community?
Droj.
If you saw, my friends, how this was spelled, you would never know to pronounce it Droj. But regardless, I won't go there. But yesterday in a town I can pronounce, Barrett. There it seemed people had to apply community by community for legalization. At Droj, it seemed like people were applying individually, and it was an individual problem.
Mm-hmm.
How is that?
The process is it's individual. So if you wanted to,
anybody could go apply and say, "I want legalization."
Yeah. They have some formulas that you have to fill to declare at first, and then the second step is that they came to the property and see if all the information that you provided is correct. And after this, they go back to the office, and after a long period, they came to do the, how can I say, to photograph the.
So in that second process, do they sort of make an announcement to see if the former owners want to come forward or something like that?
Yeah. In the second step, they see the document, the existing documents that the owner must, if they have any document,
any challenges.
So, but it's a process that step by step takes a long for years. We have a lot of people that have 10 years that they applied for the legalization.
Oh, and you're still waiting.
Yeah. Are you still waiting for this?
In driving in from the airport the other day, we gathered there's a big controversy that involves this property around the city is trying to expand the roadway.
Yeah.
And because they have the right of eminent domain, they're condemning some property to take it over to expand the highway, and there are a lot of claims that they don't have to pay compensation because people can't.
Yeah.
this has been a huge issue. Everybody in the country seems to know about it. There are demonstrations. What's happening on that?
Yeah, it's true, and it's not the only area that we have the same problems. Before the area that we are talking now, it has been another spot in Tirana where they decided to expand the roads, and they destroyed the houses, the buildings, and they didn't pay anything to the people who they live there, because they were not the owner of the property, you know? So this is the main protest that I can say during this period for is the protest that happens right now for 3 months in
and they Tirana. Go every day at 5 o'clock or
right.
something, is that right?
Right, yeah. And they look like that they are, how can I say, they believe that they have to win this that issue.
And is the government doing anything? Or is just ignoring the protest?
I can say, yeah.
There's obviously some concern about the existing government. There are announcements of other protests going on now too, aren't there?
Yeah. On Saturday, we'll have a big protest.
And is that just the party out of power trying to complain about the party in power, or does this speak to a real frustration people have?
I think it's a real frustration that people have. If we were talking before that, a lot of professionals or young people want to leave the country. Is the reason that they are not agree with how things are going on in our country? I can say the level of corruption is a big issue in Albania. Unemployment is a big issue in Albania. So we have a
and
lot
students
of
recently seem to have
the
made
protest,
some
yeah,
success.
Yeah, we have a decreasing, I can say, the quality of the education, the quality of the health sector. It's not good. So people are not.
There's a lot of issues.
Yeah,
a lot of anger.
Yeah. So I suppose that on Saturday a lot of people will go to the roads and
just to say that they're not happy.
Yeah, but let's see.
We will see, and we're already getting notifications. The students made some progress, possibly. I guess they were complaining about housing and fees being increased.
Yeah, they gained some progress. The fees for the university are cutting 50%, so it's a good news for them.
Oh,
so
okay.
They achieved something, we can say, about the protest. Also, it's another, how can I say, another atmosphere at the university. I can say.
Well, we went to the lobby of your institution and still had signs up from the students, various protests about,
and after
don't show fear
And after the protest are a lot of students that are very interested to know how the budget of the university is planning, what we can do to improve the quality of the education. Before the protest, nobody or no. It was difficult to find one student that we that it will
would
it
raise that concern.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden everybody was talking about it.
Yeah.
There were rows of chairs, I think you described to me that that's where they debated day after day.
Yeah.
You know, between themselves. That's encouraging.
Yeah.
So we have hope.
Yeah.
No matter what those young people today told us, we've got hope.
Yeah.
Right. If people wanted to know more about Albania or Tirana, or obviously we're losing population, if they wanted to move to Albania.
Albania, it's a beautiful country.
It's a beautiful country.
Yeah.
We've seen mountains, we've seen we went to the water, the seaside was cool. And the weather, we're in the middle of February and it's not that cold.
Yeah, I told you that we are the only country that we have
350, 360, I've heard 300.
Yes.
I mean, I think part of this is President Trump's fake news. How can people find you or more questions about Albania if they have them? Is there a website or a way that they can support the shelters or anything that they can do?
Okay, about Albania, I think in Google, if you
Google Albania, right?
In Wikipedia, it's not so I can say so the right source, but you can.
You do learn a lot. I had it open today.
Yeah, but also for my work in Albania, because about the shelter, because the shelter program for me is very important.
Right? How can people help?
Yeah, they can find me on Facebook with my name Marcela Almuca, also in Shelter for Abused Women and Girls in Albania.
Shelter for Abused Women and Girls in Albania. Okay.
Yeah, you can find us there. There are our contacts. So.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're good at radio too, not just TV.
Thank you, and sorry for my English.
Your English was wonderful. Believe me, our listeners are used to my English. They can put up with yours.
Thank you, Wade, for the space, and thank you that you came in Albania and you saw how things are going on here.
This has been Wade's World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. As the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week, when we will have another guest, this is Wade Rathke for Wade's World. Thank you.
This program is produced by WAMF 90.3 FM in New Orleans, Louisiana, and distributed by Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, a grassroots effort to produce public radio news and information serving the needs of low and moderate income working Americans by providing a platform for voices not commonly heard in mainstream media. For more information, please visit our website at affiliatedmediamovement.org.